Blog Talk Radio.
Host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy,
I would like to take this opportunity also to welcome to this broadcast as well Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. Gloria Castor, and we thank God for the women of God that God has given for a word to you as being counselors that are able to encourage you, to lift you up, to show you purpose in life and what God has for you. I'm sure there is many, many questions that you have in life, and God has enabled us to be able to come in to help you out of some of the situation of some of the question marks that you may have in your life. I want you to know that you still have a time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. The Bible says what we do in word of deed, to do it in the name of Jesus. So we want to begin this broadcast, the Crossroad broadcast, out with our prayer as always. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we praise you, God, for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, God, that yes, we can fall in love with you. And thank God that we have fallen in love with you. Because, God, it is the greatest thing that we ever know. As God, in your arms, we feel your protection. And in your arms, we have never feared or felt disconnected. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, even as we pray today, Father, I ask thee in the name of Jesus, God, to look upon those, God, that are discouraged, those, God, that feel disconnected, God, those, God, that have no hope. God, let them know, God, that you are the hope of glory. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, God, that even during this broadcast, God, that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the revelation knowledge that will come forth on today. Have your way, God, like never before. Father, today and every day, we thank you, God, because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. God, it is a fact, God, that you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. God, we proclaim today and every day, God, that you are true and you are the living God. You're the one that paid the price 2,000 years ago for our sins and for our transgression. Father, we thank you today and we welcome your presence. We thank you, God, for using each of the counselors today, God, to be able, God, to speak through you, through words of wisdom, through words of revelation, through words of knowledge, so, God, that the people, God, will be encouraged, that they will be saved. And this we will thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We do thank the Lord today for another broadcast. We thank God for the 2013th year. We thank God for being able to be here another year to come before the people of God. We don't know what city or what state that you may be residing in, but we do know that God cares about you, and we do know that God wants the best for you in life. Today, we have a special topic, and we feel that every topic that we talk about here on the Crossroad broadcast, they are special because it pertains to you. And so, therefore, we're going to be talking about today the topic loneliness. And you may feel that way. You may have been feeling that way for a while. You may have a friend, a neighbor. You may have a sister, a brother that have been in a state of loneliness. And so we want to be able today to talk to you. These are licensed Christian counselors that God have blessed to be able to come on the air to be able to minister to you. So we do want you to take it personally, and if we were looking in your face, to know that what we say, that it does come from God. Because as we said before, we are Christian counselors. Today, we're going to talk, begin our discussion on loneliness, and we're going to begin with Dr. Gloria Castor, and she is going to talk about loneliness. She's going to talk about the Bible and what the Bible has to say about loneliness, because loneliness can be a complex and unpleasant feeling for people to experience. So it can be a sense of emptiness and solitude. So we want you, if you're having those feelings, if you need for God to move in you in a greater understanding that help you what you're going through today, we want you to listen to Dr. Gloria Castor. We would like to welcome her to the Cross Road broadcast, Dr. Gloria Castor.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to the panel, Dr. Lucio. I just consider myself an honor and a privilege to be here at this beginning, Monday of 2013. We are so grateful even to be able to stand before God and just thank him for his goodness, because he's such a mighty and a good God, and just thank him for it today. And my topic is loneliness, but I want to start out with a little story about a young lady, and we'll call her Dr. N. Dr. N was a bright young professor in a university in Canada, and this is just a little scenario of showing you how loneliness, a person can look so successful and still be lonely within. She was well-liked by her teachers and colleagues, popular with her students, competent as a researcher. Last year, it stated that she got the Outstanding Teacher Award of the Year, and several people had predicted that she was well on her way to building a successful career, both as a scholar and a researcher. But they didn't really, on the outside, she appeared to show happiness and be so on target with everything, but on the inside, she was lonely. And few people knew, however, that the intense feeling of loneliness hidden behind this young lady, her personality and intellectual competent manner. In a magazine article, she read that one person in six doesn't even have a single friend who she or he can talk about personal problems, and that 40% of populations feel shy and isolated. We're going to call again Dr. N. Feels like that this is a description of her life. So she reads this, and automatically she takes on that for herself. And a lot of times people can read certain things and begin to put themselves in the category of what the other people are. Every day she is surrounded by people, but she doesn't know any of them personally, and most of them don't even call her by name or her first name. Her family, she's miles away, so at the end of each busy day, she goes back to her apartment, talk to her animal, and reads by herself. And there's so much else she could do, but Dr. N does not feel comfortable looking for friends in bars. She feels like a misfit in church, so she doesn't feel like she fit in anywhere. And the people there all seem to have their own friends, and nobody knows how to relate to a single woman. That's her thought, especially if they find that she is a university professor with a Ph. degree, that's still her thought. Last winter, she went on a cruise and met some nice people, but they were scattered around the country and too far away to be friends. Despite of her professional competence, Dr. N feels like a personal failure. She's an attractive person. She is a person that I'm sure could fit in very well with social skills. She has a bright mind. She knows that God accepts and cares for her, but she also knows of her needs of human companionship. her personality that she has, I'm sure, kind of had her stuck in. She had some kind of mindset to feel like that she wouldn't accept. She had, I would think that she had low self-esteem as well. Recently, Dr. N decided to talk to a counselor. I've been wondering if something is wrong with me when I'm surrounded by so many people but feel so lonely, she said. The woman, the lady appears to have no deep-seated emotional problems. She needs another person's perspective and help in finding to overcome the feeling of loneliness that now appears to be interfering with her ability to concentrate at work. Now, let me tell you a little bit about loneliness. Loneliness has been called the world's most common mental health problem, one of the most universal sources of human suffering, and almost permanent condition for millions of people, regardless of your class, your race, or sex. It is an experience that hits all of us at one time or another, a painful inter-emptiness that may flee after a few minutes or may persist for a lifetime. That depends on how you look at it and how deeply seated it in that you can hold on to it for so long that it can persist for a lifetime. Based upon a landmark study of loneliness, socialist Robert West estimated that a quarter of the American population feels extremely lonely at one time during any time of the month. It is a condition that affects people. It affects all age, even children. But researchers agree that loneliness soars during the teenage years and reaches its highest peak in people between the ages of 18 and 25. Now, loneliness is the painful awareness that we lack close and meaningful contact with others. It involves a feeling of inter-emptiness, isolation, intense loneliness, even when they are surrounded by other people. Lonely people often feel left out, unwanted, rejected, and misunderstood. Frequent there are feelings of sadness, discouragement, restlessness, anxiety, accompanied by a longing to be wanted and needed by at least one other human being. And we know that, as we were looking at Dr. N, you can have so many people in your life, and you can have everything that people think is going for you, and you can still feel lonely. You may find it surprising that many lonely people tend to look down on themselves. Like I said, low self-esteem. Weighted down with feelings of low self-esteem and worthiness, the loneliness often think, nobody wants me, so I guess I'm not worth anything. Sometimes there is a sense of hopelessness and a strong desire for almost any kind of relationship that might end the awful pain or involuntary loneliness. Many people try to find their relief in bars. You know, they wind up thinking that they can drown themselves out with alcohol, encounter in groups, but that didn't help. That didn't help Mrs. N. Or sometimes we can go to church meetings or involved with the billion-dollar lonely entities that provide seminars, dating services, and you just go to every kind of thing you can, but yet you still feel lonely. And even when they do have human contact, many lonely people still are unable to build significant relationships or gain emotional satisfaction from others. Loneliness can be transcend and sensational or chronic and long-lasting. We know that loneliness can become a chronic thing that can really cause so much pain, so much disappointment. So, in other words, you put on you have a mask on when, in fact, you're hurting and you're painful inside. It is important to distinguish loneliness. It is important to distinguish loneliness from solitude. Now, the difference is loneliness comes when we are forced to be lonely. That means you might have a divorce, or maybe you have a spouse that have died, or maybe you have a good friend that at one time or another you all had a misunderstanding, and now you're alone, you're with nobody, and you just feel like your life is just nobody cares, as I said back before. Solitude is a voluntary withdrawal from other people. That means you don't want to be with anybody. You're not really lonely. You just like to be alone. Loneliness can sweep over us and hang on in spite of our best efforts to cast it off. Solitude can be started and terminated at will. That's your own will to terminate it. Loneliness is painful, draining, and unpleasant. Solitude can be refreshing, rejuvenating, and enjoyable because that's what you chose to do. And you're satisfied with that type of lifestyle. People talk to counselors about the problem of loneliness. Solitude rarely get mentioned in the counseling session. Amen. Now, I want to give you a few scriptures that the Bible says about loneliness. When we go to Isaiah 47:1, and we know that the Bible is what builds us up. The Bible is what gives us confidence. The Bible is what can give us the strength to get through even when we feel like we can't get through. When we go through the Word of God, it gives us the confidence that we need to go through. It gives us hope in what we need to get us through. And now in Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And this is the Lord saying, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness right hand." That he's saying to you, he is the one that can get you through anything. Don't fear anything, because he can get you through it. But the key point is, do we always go to God? Do we always look for him to get us through when we're going through things, or when we're in our house and lonely? Do we think about talking to him? Because you won't be lonely if you get in your Word of God and begin to study about him and begin to know his character and what he said he would do. I want to give you 1 Peter 5:7. It says, "Cast all of your anxieties on him, before he cares for you." So when you're going through these things, you got to come to God. You got to ask him to take them. You got to say, "Lord, I can't take this. I need you to help me through this." And believe that he will do that. I want to go to Joshua 1:5. And it says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." And then Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And that's a familiar one that we always go through. We know that David was going through, so we know that in David's time, David was seeking God for direction. And he was knowing that with God, no matter what he go through, he said, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Then he says, "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." So it's letting you know that God is with you no matter what you go through. He's with you. And if we look a little bit, that shortly, even after Adam's creation, God declared, "It is not good that man be alone." He doesn't mean for us to be alone. He said, "I will make a helper suitable for him." Adam and God had talked together in the garden, but the Creator knew that human beings need other humans if they are to get along effectively. So God created Eve and instructed the couple to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In fellowship with God and with each other, Adam and Eve was neither alone nor lonely. When they fell into sin, the first married couple broke their communion with God, and a wedge was driven between husband and wife. Selfishness and interpersonal tension came into their relationship and feelings of loneliness must, but at that point, had entered the human race. Loneliness is rarely discussed in the scriptures, but it seems repeatedly, even in the lives of Bible heroes, such as Moses, Job, Nehemiah, Elijah, and Jeremiah. David once wrote that he was lonely and afflicted. Jesus, who knows all of our infirmities, surely was lonely in the Garden of Gethsemane. John ended his life alone and perhaps lonely on the Isle of Patmos. And the Apostle Paul apparently spent his last days in prison, writing to Timothy. The aging Paul noted that his friends had left the same and had forsaken him, and that he needed his colleagues to make every effort to come to me soon. The entire Bible focuses on our need for communion with God and for people, especially Christians, to love, help, encourage, forgive, and care for one another. A growing relationship with God and with others become the basis for our solution to the problem of loneliness. But how do individuals build a relationship with God or with others? To begin it is helpful if we consider the call of loneliness and cause of loneliness, which we're getting ready to get into. But the key thing is putting God first and foremost and allowing him to smooth your situations out, allowing him to be the center of your life, allowing him, as Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these things will be added unto it. We got to put God first. We got to let him be our what we need. Loneliness is not what he intended to be. Otherwise, he would not have created Adam and then Eve. So he meant for us not to be alone. So we have to remember that when we feel lonely, we have to go to God and ask him to help us get through, because our weakness is made perfect in his strength. And then it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So our joy comes from him. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
You are listening to the Crossroads Broadcast. Our topic today is loneliness. We thank Dr. Gloria Castor for how God used her in breaking down, showing you and I where loneliness, how loneliness appears, what the Bible says about loneliness, how loneliness come about, and how people have to learn to adapt. And not only that, but people, you know, you're maybe out there and you may be feeling lonely, and you may think that I'm the only one feeling this way. No, there are other people that have gone through the same thing that you're going through. And yes, there are people in the Bible, as she has been stated, like Job and Moses and Jeremiah and Elijah, all of them have gone through this. So it's not something that you are going through that's going to be always. But you need to just to be able to trust God, and the scriptures that was given to you would also to help you, because I know that you have to be aware that if you need strength, you need some joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Again, we'd like to thank Dr. Gloria Castor today for bringing us into the discussion about loneliness. Next, we're getting ready to go to Dr. Pastor Rosemary Lucio, and she's going to come today, and she's going to talk about the causes of loneliness. And yes, you may not have called a friend or called a neighbor, but we want you to be able to, if you wish to have the opportunity to do so. And also, why don't you just take some notes so that you can use these if need so later, or be able to have somebody else to encourage them as well. So at this time, we would like to welcome Dr. and Pastor Rosemary Lucio to Crossroads Broadcast. Dr. Lucio.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. I send greetings to the radio audience. Thank God for you. And I send greetings to the radio panel, Dr. McCoy and Dr. Gloria Castor. My topic today is the causes of loneliness. And I just want to say this. I thank God for another year for allowing us to be in 2013 to praise his glorious name. So my topic today, again, is causes of loneliness. Isaiah 62:4 says, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate." Loneliness is a universal human emotion, yet it is both complex and unique to each individual. Loneliness has no single common cause, so the preventions and treatments for this state of mind vary dramatically. God says, "Let your conversation, your conduct, your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall or can do unto me." So as believers, we have to be very sensitive to others. We must have godly compassion for others. We need to, and we must stop criticizing and avoiding and coming against a lonely person. Our criticism to others may be shown or exemplified through, but not limited to, verbal abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse, physical, and last but not least, spiritual abuse. It is very important to take a closer look at exactly what the term loneliness means, as well as the various causes. So what is loneliness? Loneliness is the state of being alone in a solitary isolation. Loneliness is sadness resulting from being forsaken or abandoned. Loneliness is being without friends. Loneliness also is derived or originated from the word alone. So what is alone? Alone means apart from another or others. Alone means without anyone or without anything. So some people have said, "Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered," or, "I just want to be left alone. I just want to be all by myself." A person, we find out, that may be in a crowded room surrounded by loving people, family, and friends, and yet they may or sometime experience loneliness or being alone. They may or will say, "I feel as though no one loves me. I feel as though no one cares." Loneliness causes people to feel empty, alone, and unwanted. John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Loneliness is a condition from the heart of an individual man or from the heart of an individual woman. In 2 Peter 3:1, Peter wrote to the believers, "I now write unto you in both," which he was talking about the first and second book of Peter, which "I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance." As believers, we need to stir up our pure minds that we may have the mind of Christ. Loneliness has no right, it has no place or no position in the pure mind of the believers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So my question tonight is, what are the causes of loneliness? We must realize and know that loneliness is a trick, it's a scheme, it's a plan, and it's a device that has been executed by Satan himself. And now, there are five causes which I will discuss tonight, But loneliness does not limit it to five causes. The five causes are social, developmental, psychological, situational, and spiritual causes. The first one, social causes. For social causes, loneliness often increases during time of change and turmoil. So the rapid social changes in our society, in our time of history, has created more loneliness by isolating people from close contact with each other. And we see this in the modern-day home. In every room in the home, they have every room has its own media equipment. It has its own listening device, and it has its own entertainment system. So social influences that increase loneliness include technology, mobility, urbanization, and television. Along with its many benefits, technology, mobility, urbanization, and television, our changing, dehumanizing technological society has disrupted many people's lives. It has shattered many lives, and it has destroyed many lives through pornography, cyber sex, child abuse. There are many people who are lonely. They are looking for love through technology of the internet that may result in disaster, horror, or even sometimes murder. Another cause of loneliness is developmental causes. And developmental causes may be, but not limited to, attachment disorder, which is that a person cannot form a normal attachment to their primary caregiving figure, or it may another development cause is acceptance, when a person or child is abused at an early age or over criticized, they feel worthless, and that person cannot or will not trust people, and it will prevent close relationship to form. So that person their mind goes into a form or state of loneliness. Another developmental cause is acquiring skills. That person is insensitive to the needs of others. They have never learned how to get along. They're always argumentative. They shout. They bicker. They fight. They have not learned how to develop and build a smooth interpersonal relationship with others so that they may live and have a long life. Another causes of loneliness is a psychological cause. And psychological causes deals with the main thing is low self-esteem. When a person have low self-esteem, and when they feel like they're nobody, going nowhere, and they have low opinion of their own selves, they underestimate their self-worth, and they will withdraw from others or over-exaggerate. They will brag about their qualities. They will over-exaggerate about their capabilities, and they will exaggerate about their abilities. And by this, they may appear to other people on the outside as being arrogant and being conceited. Another psychological cause is the inability to communicate. This is a lonely person. When a person is unwilling, and that means that they refuse to express their feelings, they refuse to express their love or thoughts, they refuse to express by words or emotion. When a person is unwilling, they refuse to communicate, or they don't communicate effectively, that means they hold back, they don't tell a person how they feel, they don't tell a person that they love them, they tear apart or what's going on in the inside, but they're not telling it all. So they're not communicating effectively there can be a this can be a persistent isolation and loneliness. And even though the person, even though they are unwilling to communicate, or they do not communicate effectively, even though these people are surrounded by others, they still feel loneliness, and they feel withdrawn and lonely. Another psychological cause is self-defeating. And a self-defeating attitude, it comes on, a person brings that on themselves. Loneliness may be their own one's own fault. People increase the potential for loneliness when they are intensely competitive. They struggle for self-sufficiency. They struggle for success. They are preoccupied with their own thoughts and their own thing and their own selves, and they just want to succeed no matter what the cost. So that is a person of self-defeating attitude, and that is a lonely person. Another psychological cause of loneliness is hostility. Sometimes angry people feel frustrated. They're mad all the time. And sometimes angry people are resentful because of this really happened, or imagine injustice. Sometimes their anger comes from self-hatred, and they lash out, and that self-hatred is turned outward to others. So the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So instead of lashing out and taking it out on others because they self-hating themselves, and they self-mutilating themselves, and they destroying, they cutting themselves, the Bible tells us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord working with you. Another form of a cause of loneliness is, the fourth one is situational causes. And situational causes are when people are lonely because of the special circumstances in which they find themselves. A young person may be away from home at college, or they may be traveling, or an affluent or rich person may be in a financial class all by themselves. Or a situational cause may be when a leader who have moved ahead of their peers or their loved ones, or an extremely talented person, an individual. A situation may be when an individual may have recently lost a loved one by death or divorce or separation. An older person may be living alone. That's a situation in a nursing home or in a place where they thought they'd never be, or a compulsive workaholic. So also a situational cause is, and some researchers have suggested that shyness and the tendency to withdraw from people may have a genetic basis that could contribute to later loneliness. And the genetic basis is that in the genes of one's family. So we know that a lot of things happen in our family genes. We have seen that maybe in our parents and our grandparents or our great-grandparents or our immediate or extended family, where we see that loneliness, and that's a generational curse, and God has given us authority to loose and destroy that. So people with health issues are sometimes prone to loneliness. This is a situational cause. Because our society, it is sad that we live in this society that sometimes reject others because of how they look. The disabled and handicapped tends to withdraw from others, and their mind will go in a state of loneliness. Now, there's another call, which is the fifth call, is our spiritual calls. We know that God created man in his own image. God created human beings for himself, but God respected us so much enough to let us decide whether or not to rebel. So this is what we have done. We have rebelled against God, Adam and Eve did, because of disobedience. And ever since that rebellion, our hearts have been restless because we have been cut off from God. Adam and Eve was driven out of the very presence of God because of their disobedience. And the word of God said they was drove out, and that means that they was driven out like a herd of animals, driven out. So when sin entered the human race, our intimacy with God has been replaced, has been substituted or duplicated with misunderstanding. It has been substituted with blaming, self-interest, being on the defense, and power struggle. Loneliness often comes because sin has alienated us from God and from others. That is a plan of Satan himself. Because he rejected God and was kicked out of heaven, he wants us to leave the very presence of God also. It has been researched that thousands of lonely people seek to escape from their loneliness through participating in drugs, sex, work, sports, illicit affairs, immoral sexual affairs and acts, with terminal abuse to mankind in many ways. So when God is denied, when God is ignored, and sin is unconfessed, loneliness is likely to persist. So I'll end my topic tonight with Romans 10:9. The word of God said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that word means thou shalt be delivered, amen, from anything, any obstacle, any plan, any device that the enemy try to send our way to separate us from God and to separate us from loving Christian people, to keep us alone, that he may torment us, because he will try to put us in the spirit of fear, and fear brings on torment. But the word of God said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Lucio. We thank God today because, yes, we have stepped into an area that many of the population in the world are going through this form of loneliness, a certain form of loneliness. And Dr. Lucio, she has given us several different causes of loneliness. At least one of the things she said, low self-esteem, ability to communicate, self-defeating attitude, hostility, and situational cause as well as spiritual causes. Yes, we would like to thank Pastor Lucio and also Reverend Dr. Gloria Castor for what God has given them pertaining to this topic, loneliness. And we want you to know that God is the answer for every part of your life, every area of life, every situation in your life that you may be going through. We'd like to, at this time, to go before the throne of grace. And we want you to just take this time. If you've been going through any stress or you've been feeling down and out because of you've been lonely or whatever it may have been, we've tried to show you and give you some answers, some solution, and the word of God is the main solution and answer for whatever you may be going through. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise your name. Lord, we just thank you, God, for today. We thank you, God, for loving your people and for giving them, God, insight of what they need. God, there are many people, God, that you wanted to touch today, many that you wanted to bless, many, God, that you were concerned about, Lord God. And I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, God, to give them, Father God, through the word of God, through, Father God, the counseling, God, session that we have online, God, to give them the ability, God, to know that they can rise up beyond loneliness, Father. And God, even their self-esteem, God, it can go to that next level. And God, that they don't have to feel worthless, or not belonging, or not feeling fitting in, God. But let them know, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that they can make it through each and every day. God, that they just give you, Father God, the total part of their lives. God, that they just focus on you, even as the word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto them. God, don't let them go seeking their solution from a bottle, God, from unrighteous living, from people, God, that was not meant for them to be a part of their lives. God, keep them, Father, in the name of Jesus, from being angry, God, in a sense wherein that they're feeling, God, that they have people in their lives, God, that seem as though they do not care. So there's a hostile attitude, God, that they're presenting themselves. But God, this day, at this hour, Lord God, bring a change in their life. Let them know, God, that they don't have to be defeated. God, that they don't have to defeat, bring about self-defeatedness themselves, that their attitude can also change because, God, they have given you what's most important in their lives. They've given you their heart, their soul, and their mind and their spirit so you can have full control over it. And, Father, we even pray for their inability, God, to communicate. God, we pray even now, God, that even as they breathe the word of God, the word of God say to study to show thyself approved unto God, a word of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord God, I pray even now that you, God, would move in the innermost part of them, and God calls, Father God, the innermost out of their spirit, God, to be filled with your spirit, Lord God. I pray, God, even now, God, that you will touch them in a way, God, that they've never been touched before. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, if any out there, Lord God, that are not saved and do not know you as their personal Savior, God, you said that we confess with our mouth, but Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised up from the dead. God, you said, God, that we shall be saved. So, God, let them know, God, that they can be saved. God, that they can be in the ark of safety, God, that they can live this life so they can live again. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you give a transformation of the mind and the soul and the spirit. God, that they will not be conformed to this world, but that be transformed, God, by the renewal of their mind through the spirit. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, even now. Thank you for the healing power, Lord God, that's in their bodies, Lord. I send it forth in the name of Jesus. God, no matter what infirmity or sickness, God, that the enemy has tried to put upon them, Lord, I thank you right now for paying the price 2,000 years ago for every sickness, every disease in the name of Jesus. And for this, Lord, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Again, we would like to take this opportunity for you once again tuning in to the Crossroad Broadcast. I am your host, Reverend Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we want you to know that God have not forgotten about you, but God loves you, and you can develop that same love for God. please join us on next Monday at the same time as the Lord empower you, as the Lord give you more and more of Him. May God bless and keep you. And we once again would like to thank God for Reverend Dr. Gloria Castor and Dr. and Pastor Rosemary Lucio, as the women of God came to you on today and blessed you so that you can be blessed. And don't let this just be a blessing to you, but why don't you bless someone else? May God bless and keep you.